most hail, forever conceal, never reveal any of the secret arts, parts, or points of the hidden mysteries of masonry, which may have been heretofore or shall be at this time or at any future period communicated to me as such. In other words, you're not going to tell anybody anything you ever learn about the mysteries of Freemasonry. You're not to communicate them to any person or persons whomsoever, except it be a true and lawful brother Mason, or within the body of a just and lawfully constituted lodge of Masons. And so what happens is you have to make sure the person you're talking to is a Mason. So sometimes they'll have little square compass pins or something. Sometimes they have a handshake, a particular handshake. Other times they'll verbally say, "Is there any rest for the widow's son?" And they're referring to Hiram Abiff, and they have an exchange, and so they know you're a Mason, that sort of thing. Years ago, I took a friend of mine to court. He got in trouble down at Ohio University in Athens, and while he was standing we were seated waiting for him to be called in front of the judge, another kid came up. He was in trouble for being drunk and running his car into post office boxes. Those blue, standalone boxes was like a federal offense. And so he was in a lot of trouble. Well, I saw his attorney stand up there, and as he's talking to the judge, he's playing with his ring. It's a Masonic ring. And I'd heard about that stuff, and I'd actually had a friend who was a Mason try to get me into the lodge. So I'd looked into some of it before this. And sure enough, that kid got off and wasn't punished. And I saw it right with my own eyes. I could see the brotherhood in action. Right now I'm reading David McCullough's biography on Harry Truman. And it's a big, thick book, so it's going to take you a while if you read it. But it's all about how Harry Truman, good Freemason, and became a judge with the help of the Masons and the Democrat machine. It's also very interesting because they tell a lot about how Democrats steal elections in this book, how they actually cheated to get Harry in. They cheated to get other people in. He ends up a senator, and it was all about working the machine. It wasn't about really democracy at work and all that stuff. And because he was a Mason, he had a lot of opportunities, and he also gave other people opportunities because they were Masons. And that's why people become Masons. If you're not a born again Christian, you don't have any real solid convictions about the matter. I expect that everybody'd want to be a Mason because you have job security, man. They take care of you. If you don't get a job, they have their own little welfare system. Of course, the Mormon church is similar because Joseph Smith was a Mason, and his whole temple system in the Mormon church is almost a complete plagiarism of Freemasonry. So you swear this oath because they don't want you to tell their little secrets, and it continues, and it takes an ugly turn. "All this I most solemnly and sincerely promise and swear with a firm and steadfast resolution to keep and perform the same without the least equivocation, mental reservation, or secret evasion whatsoever, binding myself under no less penalty than that of having my throat cut from ear to ear, my tongue torn out by its roots, and buried in the sands of the sea at low water mark where the tide ebbs and flows twice in 24 hours. Should I, in the least, knowingly or wittingly violate or transgress this, my entered apprentice obligation. So help me God and keep me steadfast." Every Mason you know will lie to you about this too. The only Masons who have ever told me the truth are the ones that quit. They send in a remit, and they leave the lodge. Now, I just want you to think about how satanic this is. These guys are taking this oath and saying that, hey, if I divulge any of the mysteries, then you can murder me. And then they lie to you when you ask them about it. If someone comes up to me, I've seen Christians buckle under the pressure, but I don't understand it. that. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're saying that all the Jews go to hell? No. Just the unsaved ones. All the Hindus go to hell? No. There's going to be plenty of Hindus who got saved, believing in Jesus Christ, and go to heaven. But if they reject Jesus Christ, they go to hell. It's not something we celebrate, but I'm not going to pretend it's not true because it might hurt somebody's feelings. And you Freemasons out there might be watching this at some point. You're in trouble with God. You claim to be a Christian and involved in this, you're in serious trouble with God. If you're unsaved, you're going to hell anyway. But if you're a Christian and involved in locking yourself into something like that, this oath binds the swearer to an antichrist organization dedicated to a one world religion. I want to show you this. This is the Grand Lodge of D.C., nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And if you go to their website, it's dcgrandlodge.org. And all you have to do is scroll down, go past the little where you can get about Freemasonry and member resources and over 200 years of tradition in the nation's capital and Freemason what?
Universal.
In response to questions posed to this Grand Lodge on the qualifications and eligibility of men seeking membership in our constituent lodges, listen to what they say. Membership in our lodges is extended to men of faith. They don't care which one. Based upon their personal merit and good character without reference to race. Okay. Creed. Any religion. Sexual orientation. Welcome sodomites. Specific religion. Or national origin. See, it's always a mix of good and bad. But that's right there on their own page that they welcome any religion and sodomites. And then after bragging and boasting and all this about how wonderful they are, you come down to the bottom and it says, our dedication to diversity was not born in Washington, D.C. Worldwide Masonic law and practice from the days of Anderson's constitutions clearly disfavors the exclusion of men based upon modes of belief, backgrounds, or lifestyles that enjoy legal protection in their societies. So it was Freemasons who helped change the laws that make Sodom and sodomite marriage legal. Therefore, they can then say, welcome in. And they would deny this, and I'm just going to say it's my opinion so that there's no misunderstanding. I don't have hard proof of this, but I know there's a movement right now to normalize and legalize pedophilia. And when that gets legal protection, I guess you can be a pedophile and Freemason. And there's a lot more to that. You do your research, you'll find. The Jesuit oath is more homicidal. This oath also binds the swearer to an antichrist organization dedicated to a Vatican one world religion. And they're going to come together. The Masons and the Catholics are already coming together. And it's going to be at some point they'll just join hands and... Yeah. And to be a Jesuit, you'd swear, I now in the presence of the Almighty God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Blessed Michael the Archangel, and so forth. I do now renounce and disown any allegiances due to any heretical king, prince, or state named Protestant or liberal, or obedience to any of their laws or magistrates or officers. This is why the founding fathers of this country warned about the Jesuits coming into any country, because they are lawless. I do furthermore promise and declare that I will, when opportunity presents, make and wage relentless war, secretly or openly, against all heretics. That's every one of you, by the way. To extirpate them from the face of the earth, and that I will spare neither age, sex, or condition. and that I will hang, burn, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive those infamous heretics. Rip up the stomachs and wombs of the women and crush their infants' heads against the walls in order to annihilate their inexorable race. So, now, here's the thing. Jesuits, they also lie, like the Masons, when you ask them about these oaths. But they have, when you heard earlier, I made the phrase, mental reservation. Now, this is going to sound so ridiculous and stupid, but it's an actual thing. That I can look at Jenny, and I can say, your brown hair is so lovely. And she say, I don't have brown hair. See, that would sound stupid. So what I can say is, your white hair is so lovely, but I'm thinking in my head, brown hair. And so that's just a very weak example, but here's a better example. I can stand up in front of people and swear allegiance to the U.S. Constitution. And I can say that I do solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution, etc. In my head, I'm thinking, except any time it goes against anything I believe and goes against my Vatican lords. That's mental reservation. I'm not sure what Biden has is mental dissipation.
Not Biden, but the black one.
But anybody who's a Jesuit, who is a part of that order, trained by that order, can stand and say, now, here's where we get in a little trouble with people, because like Donald Trump and others you know who went to Jesuit schools. The fact you go to a Jesuit school doesn't mean you're a Jesuit.
Amen.
It's just like you can be in this church, it doesn't make you a Christian. And so you have to be careful of who you accuse, because some of the people who are Jesuits are carefully trained without any official record of it. So if you only go by, he went to a Jesuit school, then there's a lot of Jesuits you would never figure out because they never go to them. They are the Society of Jesus, which is also a false name. They were started by Ignatius, and it was for the Loyola, I think is the school name. And it was started for the purpose of conquering the world for the Vatican. And Pope Francis is a Jesuit.
Pope Francis.
Pope.
Oh, it is. I don't remember who they are.
Yes.
I was going to say a more modern version of the mental reservation, just crossing your fingers or crossing something when you say stuff.
Yeah, that's a good example. That's what little kids will do. That they think they're getting by with lying because they cross their fingers and put it behind their back.
Yeah.
And that's mental reservation. And cross my heart and hope to die and all that stuff. You know, it's all little kiddie forms of what we're talking about. Jill?
So, wasn't Ruckman on his way to becoming a Jesuit?
No, he was on his way to being confirmed in the Catholic Church.
Okay.
Never approached the Jesuit order or anything like that. There are other preachers who did. I mean, that did happen. Yeah. So other orders and organizations with such oaths, we don't have time to go through all their stuff, but the Knights Templar, these are things you can look up on your own and do a little study. The Illuminati, by the way, these are all things that the typical secularist, liberal, and that kind of thing will act like you're crazy for believing in. Our founding fathers believed in them. You can read what all of our founding fathers had to say about these orders, and they warned us what would happen, and we're seeing their warnings are now coming true.
Yeah.
But you see that on the dollar bill, because the man who designed it was a member of the Freemasons.
Mm.
Skull and Bones, some of the famous ones would be John Kerry and George W. Bush. I think that's a Yale secret society. But you can watch videos of their secretly filmed weird rituals and things they did. So regarding courts of law, I want to approach this before we forget about and other legal actions. You are under no obligation to swear on a Bible, but legally you may simply affirm that you will tell the truth. But I have to say this. The word oath is you have to be careful how you use the word oath, and the word oath is thrown around a little loosely. But if you're standing in the court of law and they tell you to raise your right hand, swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but truth, so help you God, I don't believe that there's anything terrible about doing that. It's not an oath. You're simply saying, I'm going to tell the truth. But if you're not comfortable with that, the law allows you to simply say, I affirm that I will tell the truth. So it's every man's conscience. You be convinced in your own heart and mind. But if you don't feel comfortable putting your hand on the Bible and swearing with your right hand up as in that form, then just tell the courts and they will allow you to affirm. I think that's true about anything you do legally. You can just simply affirm. And that I've never had to do that, but I think that if I was in that situation, I would ask if I could just simply affirm that I'll tell the truth. So careless oaths can put you in hot water, by the way. I want to look at this real quick before we close up. Look at Acts chapter 23. This is what I referred to something similar to this earlier, but Acts 23, beginning verse 12. I'm going to start reading while you turn there. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse. See, this is what we're trying to avoid here. This is a serious oath. Saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. Verse 14, and they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. That's quite a diet there. Verse 15, now therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. So they're setting him up. They're going to have him bring Paul down, and as he's approaching, they're going to kill him. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, so this is Paul's nephew, kind of neat to see some of the relatives of these apostles and everything mentioned. He went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who had something to say unto thee. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked, what is that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man what thou hast showed these things to me. And he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70. This is a huge, they're going to be outnumbered. And spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. We don't have time to keep reading, but that is, you see how this is going, this out in. Paul is safely delivered, and what happened to these guys? They either broke their oath or died keeping it. You know, you get yourself, Japheth, you know, we could go back to, or not Japheth, it's Jephthah. You remember he swore an oath and said, Lord, if I win this battle, the first thing that comes up that I see when I approach my home, I'll sacrifice it unto you. It's his daughter. So over and over, you see this in history, you see it in the Bible. You just don't be making these crazy offhand oaths. John Trapp is a commentator on that passage. He said, they wished themselves dead or given up to the devil, except they brought their purpose to pass. And likely enough, they had their wish, for they missed their purpose. Yeah, I love this. Cursing men are cursed men. And we talked about earlier in James about the tongue being set on fire of hell. The Christian is to be a child of life and light, not of darkness and secret oaths and having your, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So avoid the darkness. Amen?
Amen.
I want to close with a few readings, and we're just going to go around. All right. Isaiah 48:16-18.
Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I. And now the Lord God and His Spirit have sent me. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments! Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea.
God's Word is out there and open for everybody. In the United States of America, Charlie's next. In the United States of America, you can spend a couple of bucks and get a paperback Bible. And nothing in secret. All right, Charlie, Matthew 4:21-23.
And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, and in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people.
Out in the open. It was an open ministry. There's no secret society. Romans 13, Jim, verses 10 through 12.
The love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light.
Amen. That's the Christian. We're, you know, that's what's so blasphemous. You take a born-again Christian and when he joins the Masonic Lodge, they say you're now passing from darkness to light. Wait a minute, you're already saved. You have the light. But that's what's going on. All right, Johnny, Ephesians 5:8-11.
Okay. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them.
Amen. And that's why we urge anybody who is involved in any secret society, taking these oaths, all this occult. When it says hidden mysteries, that's what the occult is. The occult means hidden. And it's hidden, and it's symbolism that is hidden. We have symbolism in the Bible, but it's not hidden. It's symbolism meant to be understood. And so, Dan, Ephesians 5:12-16.
For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, Jessica, 1 Thessalonians 5:4-7.
But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night.
Amen. And one last one, Mary, 1 Thessalonians 5:8-10.
But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye did.
Amen. That's it.